the third pasuk of Parshas Ekev, pasuk Yudalid, Baruch Tiyeh Bikol Ho'amim, you shall be blessed from all the nations, Lo Yevachad, there shall not be amongst you an Okor. And by the way, Mark, you can hear me well? Is it clear? Does it sound good? Good? Good, alright. Good, new microphone. That was the problem. I think the static was the microphone. I don't know. Okay, Lo Yevachad Okor Va'akara. Baruch Tiyeh Mikol Ho'amim, you shall be blessed from all the nations, Lo Yevachad, there shall not be amongst you Okor Va'akara, Vivivdech, and Okor Va'akara, among the males. All men should be able to have children, all females. Uvivem techa, all of your animals shall be productive. They should be able to produce offspring. Let's look at Rashi. Pasuk Yudalid, Okor She'enoi Moilid. Why did Rashi need to mention that? She'enoi Moilid. Let's look at the Targum. Anytime you have a question on Rashi, the first thing to do is look at the Targum. Yudalid, Brich Tehe Mikol Am Maya. Lo Yehevach, Akar V'Akra. And Akar V'Akra. Viv Iroch. He's not really saying very much. He's not elaborating on this pasuk, at all. Okay, and let me just check over here on the bottom. It didn't appear really too much today. You Gimel, you Dalid, I don't see anything else. So he's not saying anything. So there must be, it's a mystery. There's a mystery. Why was he compelled to comment that an Akor means shit? There must be a reason. And I maybe, always... Yeah?
Maybe it's not considered an Akara for this purpose if they had a child already and then for some reason for 10 years they weren't able to have children.
Okay, you want to have more children. She'enu Moilid. I always suspect that every Rashi is referring to a Targum and that, you know, that would require us, stay with a computer, it's very easy, is to study anywhere in Unkelis, in the entire Chamish Chumshei Torah, where he uses this word akar, and to study the context, and it may very well be, this is like my hunch, but I'm saying I can be total nonsense. If Rashi is making this comment, and our thesis is correct, that every Rashi is a response to the Targum, so that means, and we look in the Targum says with akar, we would have to search the entire Chamish Chumshei Torah, and see where else the Unkelus uses the word akar, and we may discover that the word akar in the vocabulary of Unkelus does not necessarily mean he can't have children. It means something else. It means another condition. And therefore Rashi would be coming to reject that, but what I just said is a total nonsense unless there's going to be some support, and I have absolutely no support. The person who wrote the Sefer, the Ma'at Sari, he's the one who did these type of things. He's the one that searched the entire Chamish Chumshei Torah and found other usages of the word Akar, and he would comment, but here he is silent. Let's go to Pasuk Tezva. V'hisvi Hashem imcha kol choli, Hashem will remove from you all sickness. V'chol madvei. Now the word madvei is a very interesting word, the malady. What's a good word for the word madvei? We have to study that word. We have to study that in a few moments. V'chol madvei. The madvei is also a word that appears in the context of the pasuk to be similar to the word choli. Mitzrayim horoim. The illnesses, the diseases of Mitzrayim. Horoim. Question. The word horoim. What is it coming to modify? Is it coming to modify the word madvei? Or is the word horoim coming to modify Mitzrayim? Are we saying that Mitzrayim, they're evil people in Egypt? Or do we mean to say horoim means that the madvei are roim? Okay, let's see further. Asher yodata, which you are aware of, lo yisim mamach unisanam b'chol so ne'echa. Hashem will not set them in you, He will set them in all of your enemies. The word sum is a very interesting word. This word sum, is this word nisina, this is the old Torah. The word nisina, to be noisane, and sum. The difference between the two are usually precision. Sima connotes a very high degree of precision, whereas nisina connotes a general placement. Put it down on the table. You put it down anywhere. It's a big table. Wherever you put it down is fine. When you tell a person, set it on the table, That means there's a very specific location where to put it on the table. Don't just put it anywhere. When it says the word yisimam bach, it has a connotation that the word is usually mean in a very specific location. What is that location over here? We have to study the Mefarshim. Let's take a look at the Rashi. There is no Rashi, okay? Rashi, we're on our own. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Tezvav says the Yaadei Hashem Inoch. The Yaadei means to remove from you, called Marin. Marin means evil. Marin means, I guess, sickness. V'chol Mach Tishei Mitzrayim Bishaya. What does that mean? So I'm going to read to you over here from the words of the Mechaber of this Sefer. First of all, he says the word marin, it means meira. Now, here's a very great example. Ashchiv meira. Everyone knows that expression. A person who is about to die is called ashchiv. He is lying on his bed. Meira. Now, I always thought it meant from evil. That's in my little mind. Is shchiv. He's lying on the bed. Why? May, because Ra, he is in a bad matzav. His situation is Ra, is evil, meaning he's going to die. But it appears that's not what it means. The word May Ra, maybe it's related to Ra, but doesn't seem like that. It seems like the Mem is not a prefix. The Mem is part of the actual word. And the word May Ra is the Aramaic translation of sickness. So that means when we have this expression that appears all over Shas, a shechiv, a person who's lying down, meira, because of an illness. And what kind of illness are we discussing? An illness that will take this man's life. There are different types of illnesses. There are people who get a cold. Okay, get a cold, so take a day off. And then there's a person, Rachman al-Atzlan, who's very sick and means he's going to die. The fact that the Targum is coming here to say the translation of the word choyli, ve'hisir Hashem mincha kol choyli, and he translates it with the word meira, and the word meira is used by Chazal to refer to a person who is dying, it would seem to indicate that choyli is a very serious illness. Hashem will take away this serious illness. Then the Targum goes on to say madvei. What's the translation of the word madvei? So the Targum chose the word machtishei. What's machtishei? So here he has on this sefer that I'm reading from, he translates it kisisha. And those who learn with us in the morning, this word we only learn. Those who learn with us in the morning know that the word kisisho is, we have it in Tanakh all over the place, to crush, to pulverize. And machteshe has those same letters, that same sheresh, and it means crushing. Shemen zayizoch kosis. Kosis lama kosis. The olive oil has been crushed and pulverized. And so therefore that's called madvei. So what then is the deeper meaning over here? What then is the deeper meaning over here? Now here is what's very interesting. The Targum Onkelos throughout Chamishei Chumshei Torah always translates the word nega. A nega, nega tzoras, with the word machte, as the word machtesh. That's the translation he always uses. Tirgim of nega, in the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Therefore, if we put all of these two together, and we know the word machtesh means to crush, and it's also the translation of a nega, when it says madvei mitzrayim, it means the Nigoim of Egypt. Now, here this is something which is only this the Mechaber of the Sefer can do, which really is brilliant. The Pasuk, you have a whole new appreciation of a Pasuk in Chumash now. Back in Shemot's Pasuk Yud Aleph, I think it was the last Nega, Shemot's Yud Aleph, Oid nega echod avi al paro. Okay, let's in fact go to the pasuk. It's in Shemois Perek Yud Aleph. Shemois Boyel Paroi. Shemois Yud Vayom Hashem Moshe Oid Nega Echor Ovi Al Paro Vi Al Mitzrayim Acharechein Yishalach Eschem Mizeh Kishalchoi Kolo Goresh Yigoresh Eschem Mizeh Makas Bechorois Oid Nega. Another nega. Now, that indicates the fact that the pasuk says oid nega, it would appear that we're comparing the last nega to all of the other negum, the other nine makos. A maka, the pasuk itself calls a nega. Now let's understand. Did the Egyptians die from nine of the ten makos? No. They didn't. They just suffered discomfort. Dam, tsardeya, kinim, oroiv, dever, shchin, borod, choshech. Of course, certainly, I'm sure you can find in some of the commentators that some of them, the Egyptians did die from some of the negoim, but more or less, the nation survived. We see here the word nega. Nega is machtosh. Va'amar Hashem lo'ibayim machtosh. So now we're able to go back to this pasuk, and we have over here, I think we have over here a mahalich in this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Hesir Hashem mimcho kol choili, v'chol madvei mitzrayim horoim." The pasuk is telling us that Hashem is going to remove two specific things from the Jewish people. Number one is choili, and the Targum translates that as meira, and meira is used in connection with the Shchiv Meira, which we can suggest that Hashem will remove from you all diseases that have no cure and usually lead to death. Not only that, Hashem will remove from you the Chol Madvei, any nega. A nega does not mean you're going to die, because the Egyptians had 10 negoim. The last one was to die. That was Makas Mechoros, but the other 9 were not to die. They were oid nega echor avial paro oid machtosh. The same word that the Targum uses for the word nega is what he uses for the word madvei, the maladies, but it's a type of malady which does not lead to death. That I will also remove from you. The whole madvei mitzrayim, and also we have now an appreciation of why we say the word madvei in reference to mitzrayim. We understand why we connected to Mitzrayim, because since it says specifically this word, oid nega echad ovial paroi, and then he will let you free. So the word nega until now in the Torah is something unique to the Egyptians. Those negoim, that's why the Targum, I guess that's why the Targum said the word, the same word he used to refer to the negoim of the Egyptians, he used over here for the word madvei. Why? Because since the pasuk says the word mitzrayim in this expression, what do we know about the Egyptians? What do we know about their suffering? Well, we know that Hashem brought upon them negoim, and there the Targum said machtosh. So here also, if we're talking about the Egyptians and we're talking about suffering, I have to use the same exact word. And we have now two words that pretty much mean the same thing. There are the negoim of Egypt, there are the madve of Egypt, and there are the makos. So now if you want to give a drasha, if you're a rabbi, and you want to give a drasha on Pesach, you can get them, you can say that we find in the Torah, there are three different words the Torah uses to describe the 10 forms of affliction that he brought upon the Egyptians. On the one hand, every child in Cheder will tell you it's the as 10 makos, a maka. On the other hand, it says beferish in the pasuk oid nega echad, one more nega, which means that the other none were also called negoim. And here we learn in Parshas Ekev, another word for the makot are the madvei mitzrayim. And the proof that we're referring to the same thing is the Targum Onkelos that uses the same translation. So we have a result of three words describing the 10 afflictions that Hashem brought upon the Egyptians. Negoim, Makot, and Madvei. What's the difference between the three? Obviously, there were three different dimensions in what Hashem was trying to accomplish by bringing these things upon the Egyptians. There were three different elements. Three different dimensions. Now, what would you suggest the three different elements when a person doesn't feel well? Okay, when a person doesn't feel well, a lot of things go through a person's mind. Okay, people who don't feel well and are suffering, so on the one hand, they don't feel well. It's painful. Then people begin to start thinking about what did I do to deserve this? Okay, every person, they begin to start looking back in their life, did I do this, did I do that? And even though there's no such thing to say, to understand why, it's ridiculous, totally ridiculous. Tzaddik v'raloi, we're not on a level today to have any hasaga to understand why a person should suffer. But the mind likes to, the mind, the human mind, it's the human condition. It likes to roam and it likes to think that maybe there's something there. There's something to learn from it. There's a little shtickel musser. Every person knows where they're holding in life. So that's another dimension of getting a makkah. There's the physical pain. And then there is the disturbance that I'm a bad person. I've done something bad to deserve this. And what else would you say about a makkah? It's a manifestation that Hashem is in charge. Forget about my pain, my suffering, and forget about my humility, my awareness that I'm a bad person. I've done something horrible to deserve this. It's a revelation. There's a balabas. The Ribbono Shel Olam is calling the shots. So now take the three words, the Negoim, the Makot, and the Madvei, and try to match them up into those three different dimensions. Madvei, L'cha'oira, refers to physical suffering. Physical suffering. The Madvei Mitzrayim Horoim. How do you know that? It's called Ra. To recognize Hashem is in control, or to recognize that you person is a balavera, is a very good thing. You can't call that ra. You cannot say that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has stretched out his hand and has demonstrated that he is the boss. You can't say that's called ra. It's not, that's very good. You can't say that a person is humbled from suffering. You can't say that's ra. In the hospital, I used to spend a lot of time in the hospital. My parents were sick. People in the hospital, they're very humble. They're very humble. You go through that, go down, you see people walking in the aisles, Rahman al-Islam, these very sick people. They're humble. I mean, not everyone, you know, there are some people that don't get the message, but to a large degree, people, it humbles them. Are you gonna say that's called Ra? You can't say that's called Ra. So what's called Ra? Pain is Ra. That's Ra. So what we're doing over here is the Targum has done us a very big toiva, and he has taken a word, Rashi is silent, and the fact that Rashi is silent is the ultimate compliment Rashi can give in our shir. In our shir, when we analyze Rashi and the Unkelus, if Rashi has nothing to say, that's the greatest compliment Rashi can possibly give. And the Targum says there are two types of sicknesses. Choli, Meira. And that triggers the thought, Shchiv, Meira. Deadly. A deadly disease. And then it says, Madvei Mitzrayim. Madvei is not deadly. Because the Egyptians survived the Makos. They survived the Makos. They survived to fight another day. But they suffered. And here, that's number one. Number two, the fact that the Targum translates the word Madvei with the same exact word that he uses to translate a nega. Oy, nega, echod, avi al paro, avi al besai. It opens up our mind to acknowledge, to be aware that there are three terms for the makot. The negoim, there are negoim, they are makot and they are madve. And each one has a unique flavor, a unique connotation. Madve, we want to suggest, represents the physical pain. Nega represents the person's awareness that he's a nothing. He did an avera. That's why we have the negat saras. The purpose of negat saras is to become aware of your averos. The Torah was very precise when he used the word negat saras, kisiyah be'odam. And then there is the third term called the makos. The makos clearly refers to Hashem's, the kavod shemayim. Who's the boss here? Who's in charge? Forget about your pain and suffering. That's not relevant. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that is operating, it's a revelation that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the boss. Okay, that's our idea. Let's stop. Whoa. Woo! Glass is flying all over the place. Yeah, okay. My phone just flew right off, right out of here. Okay. I touched the wire over here. Microphone pushed it off. All right. Now, let us go further in the Targum. Let's go back to Pasuk Tezvav. The Yadei Hashem Yinoch Hashem will remove kol marin. Marin means meira, shchiv meira. V'chol machteshei. The negoim mitzrayim bishaya. I'm assuming the word bishaya goes back on the madve. They were evil. It's not going back on the Egyptians. It goes back on the word of the madve. The pain is ra. Di dato. Okay, now that's also it's very interesting. The Rambam over here, he takes two words. The Targum here takes two words, and he puts the two words together. Asher. It says here in the pasuk, Asher yodata. I don't know Targum enough to comment on this, but the Targum takes two words and he combines the two words into one word, and that one word over here is Di dato, and then he says Lo yishaveinun boch, he will not set it on in you, but the yiteininun bechol sonach, he will not set it, but he will unison on your enemies. Again, like we said as we started, there are two words for putting nisina and sima. Sima is precision, and nisana is its generalization. Now that this is really not a, and the Targum also, the Targum says Yishaveinun Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sami. You see, it's the same word Shivisi. Every day we say, I mean, you go to the urn in front of the Amud, it says a Shivisi. Hakam doesn't say on the Amud by some shuls they have this word Nosati. Instead of Shivisi of Nosani. Nasani Hashem Lenegdi Pasik. Nasani Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Why do we say Shivisi and not Nasani? I set Hashem before me continuously, and we don't say Nasani. I put Hashem before me continuously. Why don't we do that? And the answer is because Shivisi has a connotation of precision, a recognition of Hashkocha. Now look here, this is a very beautiful pasuk. We know Chazal tell us that there are many madregos of Hashkocha Pratis. There are many madregos. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, we have a very intense level of Hashkocha Pratis. When it comes to the Goyim, not as intense. When it comes to the animals, even less. What about blades of grass? Every blade of grass out there, is there a hashkocha pratis on every single blade of grass? Well, Chazal say that every blade of grass has a malach that tells it to grow. Every blade of grass has a guardian angel. Obviously, it's our hashkocha, and this is something which is not so simple. This is something which you probably can find Makaris that will tell you that it's not so simple, but our hashkocha is every single thing in this world, b'li yoytze min haklal, is under the hashkocha protis of Hashem. However, there are different levels of Hashgacha Pratis. The holier you are, the more precision, the more Hashem is guarding every little detail. And the more removed the person is from Hashem, Jew, a guy, I mean, among Jews, there are holy Jews, and there are Jews that are just not with the program. And then there are goyim, and then there are animals, and then there is grass, there's debris. Then there are things that have less hashkacha. So this is a very beautiful pasuk. Here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes to give a member of Klal Yisrael a disease, Rachmana Litzlan, a choli or a madve, Hashem says, I will no longer engage in Sima. Because whenever Hashem brings Rachmana Litzlan suffering to a member of Klal Yisrael, it's done with the utmost precision. No more will I do this. I'm not gonna bring any disease. And when Hashem does bring a disease, it's always in the category of Sima, precision to the utmost. But instead, I will take away the disease and I will noisein. Hashem does not use the word of Sima by the Ummah Yisraelam. By the Ummah Yisraelam, do not enjoy that degree of Hashkocha Pratis. So by the Ummah Yisraelam, Hashem says, Unisanam, will be a Nesina. Hashem will just give it without the degree, the darg of precision. Okay, that's a very fast and very beautiful idea to see in this pasuk itself. We see the difference in Hashkacha between us and the rest of the world, and we have the two words that are used, Shivisi, Mark, have a good night, be well. We have the word Shivisi, and we have the word, by the Goyim, the word by the V'yiteninun, Yitain. And now when we look at the Omen and it says Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, we appreciate that Shivisi means we put Hashem in front of us with detail. We strive to see Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis in our lives in every single prat. All right, let's now go to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Pasuk Tes Zayin, V'yachaltas kol ho'amim. You'll eat all the nations, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch. You'll eat all the nations which Hashem will give you. Lo'esachois einecha aleihem. Okay, we have a very unusual word, eat, eating. The word eat appears in this parasha an unusual number of times. Okay, you count the number of times that it says word eat, you'll be very surprised. You will eat up the nations, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch, which Hashem is going to deliver to you. Lo'esachois einecha aleihem, have no rachmanis upon them. Do not worship your idols, because their idols are a stumbling block for you. There is no Rashi. Let's look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk says, "Usigamar yos kol amamaya." Okay, that's a very interesting translation of the word achila. Normally, the way you translate the word achila is. Yes, let's go ahead. I want to give you just to show you the difference at the end of the Aliyah. If you go to the end, go to the end of the Aliyah, v'ochalto v'sovoto, uverachto es Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tov asher nosan loch. And there the Targum translates the word v'ochalto v'seichol. You will eat. So the translation of the word achila is seichol. The same first two letters, chaf and the same second letter, chaf and lamed, and instead of an aleph, it's a sof. So why then doesn't the Targum here translate the same thing? V'seichol eskol ho'amim. You will eat up, chew them with your molars, because that's not what it means here. It's not what it means. Here it means you will destroy them, you will obliterate them. And the word that he made, the Targum used, usigamar. The word usigamar is a very powerful word. You'll make a gemar tov, the end, complete obliteration. Usigamar yos kol amamaya da Hashem
elokecha. The war.
What? The Hashem will.
The war in ask.
What?
Not eat up, but the war like an animal eats up everything. The war.
devours. Devour. To devour. Very good. Very good. To completely finish off. Gimar. Gimar. So you just triggered a thought. You just triggered a thought about of to completely devour, to leave nothing over. When we eat food, think about it, when a person eats regularly, they serve you a portion. A man is a king in his home and his wife puts out in front of him a plate of food. You don't eat everything on the plate. You leave over the bones. You leave over. You don't eat every, they serve you rice. You eat every granule of rice. Someone serves you a barley. You eat every single thing of barley. You don't eat everything. It's not min hanimos to lick the plate clean. That's not min hanimos. Eating by a human being is you eat and you leave over a little bit. This fact is the tightness of the ravid. The ravid is, for some reason, the ravid gets credit for this. And the tightness of the ravid is a person should never, ever eat a whole portion. It's not, it would be very good for dieting. You know, it's a very good idea for dieting. Not only should you not take a second portion. A doctor once said to me, very good advice. He said to me, you want to stay healthy? You want to stay healthy? I'll tell you how to stay healthy. I'll tell you a secret life. Never eat a second portion. Just follow that rule. Eat whatever you want. You have a meal, you go to a wedding, you go to this, you're at home. You have food. You're blessed to have food. Tastes good. Eat. Don't ever, ever take a second portion of food. That is a secret for good health. It's a very interesting idea. So such a principle. The Ravid, he went even further. You know what the Ravid said? Don't even eat a full first portion of food. If they put that on the table, steak, piece of steak, and the steak costs $75. You know what that means? Every bite is a dollar. every bite is the money. So here you go, you eat, and then you leave over, let's say 20%. You know how much, what, out of your mind, you're leaving a $20 bill on the table? Out of your mind, baltashchis. $20 bill on the table? What are you, out of your mind? You paid $75 over here. What are you leaving over a part of the meat? And the answer is discipline. Is it not worth $20 to discipline your neshama? People, they pay tens of thousands of dollars to go to psychologists for anger management. Anger management. People go, women who are giving birth, they go to learn the lamas and all these things, how to learn how to control your mind, how to discipline yourself. It's not worth, and they pay astronomical amounts, like crazy amounts of money for medication, for this, for that. So what's the big deal about tashchis? The steak costs $75. You're going to leave over $20 worth of the steak. And what are you going to accomplish? Who's in control here? Who's the boss? Who's the balabas? This dead piece of meat or me? Who's in control? The average person, you know, who's in control? The meat. The meat says, eat me. And you eat it. And you leave nothing over. It's Pasha. The dead piece of meat is the boss. You do whatever it tells you to do. It tells you to eat it, you eat it. No questions asked. That's not correct. You're the boss. Show him who the boss is. Leave over something. This is called the tainus of the Ravid. Okay? It's a gewaldig tainus. And it's not called baltashchis. People say, how could you do such a thing like that? It's baltashchis. It's not baltashchis. You're leaving it over for a very important purpose to show who's in control. If you have children, you have someone in the house that will eat your leftovers, they're not afraid of germs or corona, chves, very good. Then it's not even going to be baltashchis. Let someone else eat your leftovers. If you have someone to give the leftovers to, it's not afraid to eat the leftovers. But it's Rabbi Lazer says something very good. He says that an animal is gemar. Gemar means completion. Completion means to devour. When an animal eats another creature, there's no such thing by an animal of musar. That's really what separates man from animal. What, you want to say speech? Big deal. Man has sophisticated words. An animal makes noise, blah, 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 makes sounds. A lot of the scientists today, the incredible things they discover. The animals have a very sophisticated language. We don't know the language, but the animals know what they're saying. They have a language. So you want to say it's klich hadibur? Yeah, it's true. You want to say animals, they go on four and man, and the man goes on two? All right. I mean, you know, maybe animal is better. Four-wheel drive. You know, a lot of people would pay a lot of money to have four-wheel drive. Everyone here only has two-wheel drive. A human being has two-wheel drive, an animal has four-wheel drive. Maybe it's better to go on all four. You get more mileage, you get more for the gallon. But what's the real difference between man and animal? Musar. An animal, it does not exist. This is the real difference between a human being and animal. There's no such thing by an animal as discipline, as musar. Okay, you could try it in the zoo. They try to train animals. They train animals. They do tricks. They discipline them. It's not the real. That's not the real deal. That's a reflex. Just a reflex to teach them to get reward. Musar. That's the real difference. An animal is no achila by a person is v'seichal. By an animal, we're using over here. Torah is telling us a usagamar. Finish them off. Leave over nothing from the Ummah Yisraelim. Call Amaya Hashem Lachach Yavlach. Los Suchus Enoch Alehin. Your eyes have no compassion. The Lesiflach Yos Toavos Soin. Do not worship their mistakes. That's the classic word that we always use in reference to an idol. Are Lesakla Yeholach. These idols will be for the Jewish people nothing other than a stumbling block. Okay. Right, there are other examples to prove the word. Note if he goes over here on the bottom of the sefer to prove that the word achila means to devour. It's a very good translation, and he cites other examples. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ki soimar, a person will say bil vavucha. What's going to happen? A person will say in his heart, Rabim hagoyim ba'ilim yani. What am I going to do? The nations are numerous. How will I be able to drive them out of the land? When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, there were 31 kings. It's a very significant number. We learned in the morning, I never really appreciated this, that the total number, 33. Because in the Eder Hayarden, they were Oig and Sichon. Oig and Sichon plus 31 kings on the west side is a total of 33. But at least on the east, on the west side, there were 31 kings. How in the world are we going to be able to overcome these mighty nations? Rabim Hagoyim Ha'ilamina. By the way, it's very interesting that we refer to the Canaanite nations. These were Canaanim nations. They're not nations. Eretz Canaan is a teeny little land. Eretz Yisrael, relatively speaking to the entire world, it's teeny. It's a teeny little country. You know, how many miles is it across? Like 50 miles. I forgot the exact. It's, you can fly over the whole Eretz Yisrael in 5 minutes. Back and forth. It's teeny. You go to America, you have to sit on a plane for 9 hours, 11 hours. And the whole Eretz Yisrael, you can fly over in 5 minutes. If you weren't landing in Eretz Yisrael, how long would it take you if the plane would be 30,000 feet in the air? How long will it take you to pass over the whole Eretz Yisrael? Less than 5 minutes. Not even. Isn't that shocking? You sit in the airplane for 11 hours, and when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you can pass over the whole thing in less than 5 minutes? Unbelievable how teeny the country is. So it says that in this country there are nations. What are you talking about? What nations? What are you talking about? They're a bunch of Canaanite kings. They may be very tough, macho, strong, have weapons. They're not nations. Why does the pasuk call these people nations? Rabim ha'goyim ha'ele mimeni echa uchal lohoi rishon. So the answer is, okay, we have to see Rashi and Mefarshim, but at least one mahalach, which is very clear, is that in addition, we have to really analyze what exactly is the pasuk referring to. We know there were 31 Canaanite kings, but it says here nations. Chazal tell us every single nationality, every single nation had an embassy, had a home, property, a representation in Eretz Yisrael. Besides the 31 kingdoms of the Canaanim, the world at the time when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, we can't even fathom, we don't appreciate this, because the whole concept doesn't exist today. But at that time in world history, it was a land occupied by the 31 kings of Canaan, plus there was the recognition that this is a very special location. And it was worthy that every single nation in the world purchased land and built a castle, a palace, a castle in Eretz Yisrael. And by doing so, they were represented. There's representation. We also have a presence in this land. And when Klal Yisrael came into the land, it was viewed by the nations of the world that this was an invasion of their land. It wasn't just viewed as an invasion of Eretz Canaan. It was viewed as an invasion. Hey, I have a castle there. That means I have a presence. I care about this land. It's my land. If you come and you start up by coming into this land illegally, you trespass, my whole country will wage war against you, will launch missiles, will come after you, because the fact that we've gone to the effort to recognize the beauty of the land and we want it to be chashev, we made a castle, don't come make trouble for us here. So indeed, Klal Yisrael knew that when you go, think about it today, could you imagine today in the United States, could you imagine what happened? The United States just decides, you know what, let's raid the Chinese embassy. Certainly somewhere in Washington there's the embassy of China. So according to international law, the convention is that an embassy is almost like, you know, it's Kodesh Kodashim, it's the property of China. I don't know what the exact terms are, a country, that's the way we set things up. You don't have no right, no country, if you give another country permission to establish an embassy, you can't step foot in that embassy. It's like you go into that embassy, it's like you're invading their land. Could you imagine today if the United States would just forcefully walk into the Israeli embassy and just take away all the file cabinets, forcefully walk into the Russian embassy? Know what that would happen? World War III in 1 second. That's like the United States launching a missile into Russia. That's what it means. That's exactly the way it was in ancient times. And to appreciate, even this just to point out, to appreciate this, Achan, when Achan, that was part of the chait of Achan, when Achan, they came into Eretz Yisrael, into Yericho, into Eretz Yisrael, into Yericho, Achan, he took from the spoils of war. What did he take? So what? Big deal. What's the tragedy? In Yericho, there was an embassy. There was a castle. Whose castle? The castle of Melech Bavel. And Klal Yisrael, they came in there and they destroyed it, obliterated it. In other words, they waged war. They waged war in Bavel. That's really what they did. They weren't afraid. Bavel. But one person he saw there in the rubble, a beautiful garment that was made in Bavel. Not made in the USA, not made in China, made in Bavel. When the king of Bavel went to the embassy there, he wore his robes. The big day Shemayin, he wore all of his fancy stuff in the clothing, the style of Bavel. This Achan, he saw in the rubble that garment that was unique to the nation of Bavel, and he liked it so much, he couldn't control himself, he took it and he took it home. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was furious. Why? We once mentioned this, so we spoke about this. If you would have taken, let's say, a garment from China or from America, if you would have seen some CD from some of the latest movie in America, and Achan would have taken it home with him. Big deal. You took a garment from Bavel? That's where you came from. That's where Avraham Avinu came from. By Yoyimer Hashem El Avraham Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. You're coming now into Eretz Yisrael, and you want to go, you want to be like Bavel, where you came from, where your ancestor Avram came from? Woo! This was the pits. If Ochan would have taken anything other than the cloak of the king of Bavel, it would have been a non-event. He did an Avera. No, he did an Avera. Alright, he'll be punished. But the whole Klal Yisrael to suffer and the whole tragedy of this Maisa, it's because you took the garment of Bavel where you came from? This is unexcusable. But what's the point I'm trying to make? They were Goyim. It wasn't just the Malchei Kenan. It was the Goyim. Okay, let's see the Talmud, let's see Rashi. Rashi will stop. We're out of time, we'll be ready. Rashi, we're not going to be able to go through this. It takes too long to go through this carefully. We'll have to wait until tomorrow, Mirat Hashem. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you very much for joining me. This shiur really means a lot to me. I appreciate everyone who comes to learn with me. It's really great. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. And let's hope the storm is over. It's pretty scary out there today. A lot of trees came down. Ooh, frightening. Very frightening.
It's fine now. I'm going to try to find out if it's over, but...
Yeah, I wanted to find you.
Okay, have a nice night. Good night.